Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We're joined by Cynthia Hostwinder and Janet Manko. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you folks on board with us on this beautiful morning after another 5 inches of rain last night.
Yeah, a lot of the little creek by Janet's house is so swollen. I haven't seen it that big in years.
Yeah, and like I said, New York got 8 inches of rain. Pat over in and Orangeburg got 7.5 inches of rain. And the bad part about that is we got the 5 inches of rain over several hours. New York got about 5 inches of rain at the beginning of this in like 2 hours. And just totally overwhelmed.
Those subway
everything.
Stations. There's just my goodness.
There's no way. Like one guy said, he was in his apartment, and his after it started raining after an hour, his drain started backing up. It was that quick.
Oh, no, they've got the different houses. I mean, oy.
Well, anyway, so but at least we're going to have nice weather for the vintage sports card parade and what's going to go on in Falls Village tonight. So
hard to believe it's happening today. I drove by, I was just driving by the track, and there's little signs out and everything, and I thought, well, that's next week, isn't it? But
no,
we're
today.
Here. It's Labor Day weekend. School has started. We've got some great back to school quotes and a photo in this week's issue on page one, and excited that they're back in person. And let's hope that. The New York Times is right in that we've peaked and that it's downhill from here.
Well, we'll follow it closely, of course. Yesterday was the opening where we got our first letter. There's two residents of Salisbury whose families contacted COVID-19. Once again, the school very professionally sent out notices to everybody, and that those people and the people that were around them are going to be in quarantine. I did have somebody send me an email saying, well, don't they have distance learning? And I said, I think that is only going to be brought out as a last resort in any of the regions around here. They're planning on going to school with masks.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, they, you know, have distancing within the schools as possible. But, yeah, everybody there. And they're doing really great abiding by HIPAA regulations because that means privacy for those families that are affected. And they're handling it really well, as you said.
Yeah, and so the schools are opened. And you know what? I just think that teachers and students are more relaxed and looking forward to the school year because it's just not natural to have students who exist with their friends and with their teachers and with different subjects and different things that schools offer them. They needed it. They needed it back, and I'm glad that we're starting off this way. All right. With that being said, we've got lots of pictures in the paper about back to school, which is you can never when it's back to school, you can never have enough back to school pictures. You just can't. It's just
they're eternal, and yet it's so nice to see them every year.
I know. It's almost like bear pictures, you know.
Yeah.
You got to see them. You got to see them. All right.
And flooding river pictures too. You can't get enough.
All right. I want to go on to the next story by Patrick Sullivan, and that is looking for better and quieter ways to recycle.
So Barbara Bettigal, and just a regular old citizen like you and me in Salisbury, became very keen on figuring out ways to improve recycling and has done incredible work. So those big sort of sandwich boards that you see both at the transfer station and at Le Bon's and other places around town with recycling tips, she's been super active, and they had a meeting to talk about different ways to encourage people to continue to recycle. And, of course, our beautiful new transfer station for Salisbury and Sharon really has a lot of of excellent opportunities for recycling and, best of all, swap shop back and better than ever.
Better than ever. That's always nice when you hear that.
Right.
The story that really has got me, and I'm looking at the Lime Rock Park being at the Planning and Zoning Commission and outlining some things, the new chief executive officer and more. This is an interesting time to see if we can reestablish between zoning and residents of Lime Rock and Lime Rock itself, whether we can start anew again.
And we'll hope that the community steps up to meet halfway because definitely the three new owners and of course, Skip Barber continuing to be an owner there, are looking for ways and very logical sort of small ways within the track to reduce the amount of traffic and activity in there because it's not just the race cars. There's a lot of other vehicles moving around. So they're looking at ways to reduce some of that and discussing other, you know, ways to make it. And, you know, there was years ago, you probably remember this, somebody started a rumor that there were going to be like a Ferris wheel and an amusement park and all sorts of activity there. So they're looking for ways to make the track a viable place for entertainment throughout the year, not just in the summer months when racing is possible, but not looking to do, you know, giant outdoor concerts and Ferris wheels as far as we know, but looking for ways to have more events like the Scottish Highland Games, which is one of my favorite events. They've had it for several years now at the track, and it sounds like they're also going to be doing trade secrets next year. So looking for ways to be a good partner to the community, and but also to have it be a sustainable business.
And down the road, even an area in the outfield, which might have a small hotel with a dining room and a museum and everything like that, make it more of a multifunction capacity than add on more burdensome thing. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all develops. But they've got a lot of great plans that they're talking about into the future there. So
lots of creative out-of-the-box thinking that we like to see.
Yep. All right. And the other story by you, Cynthia, Northwest Corner, blessed with a mild impact from Henry.
And, of course, so outdated now as we have this new rainstorm. And there are a few roads that are closed today in Kent. And be careful driving through all of our towns. I'm sure that all of the towns have watery areas. And remember never to drive into a deep, wet area. It's hard sometimes to tell how deep it's going to be, but once you're in, it's hard to get out. So always better just to add 15 minutes to your drive and just turn around. But fairly mild, and curiously, there is flood stage on the Housatonic River today down at Gaylordsville, south of Kent and Bullsbridge. But in Henri and in yesterday's storm, the Housatonic at Falls Village has still not reached flood stage, so I'm not sure why that is. And definitely our little creeks and things are swollen around here, but generally we came out pretty well from Henri. There was not the kind of intense wind that we had expected. I think that some people did lose power here last night, but I think most of us have it restored, so we can consider ourselves lucky so far. And Noreen Driscoll had a little trail magic, in which is what Appalachian trail hikers call it when somebody's unexpectedly kind to them or warm, generous, welcoming. And Noreen picked up about five hikers and just said, I've got a big property that's right near here. Come on over, sit out the storm. I don't know if she picked up more hikers last night. I bet a lot of soggy hikers were hoping to find a shelter. There were some camping out in the front steps at Town Hall in Salisbury yesterday, but we hope that everybody's safe.
All right. Nice story on Salisbury's medical support in Haiti. And I was talking to somebody the other day, how many years ago with Inga Dunham when Hope for Haiti was started by the Salisbury Rotary Club? And I mean, that has to be close to 30 years ago. We've always had a connection with Haiti.
Right, and Inga, of course, has done so many things in so many parts of the world with Salisbury Rotary. And Louise Lindenmeyer and her husband, Elliot Osborne, known to so many of us through the Joint Chiefs, Louise is incredible in her work in Haiti and education and in medical care, from our small tri-state region, and have gone down and are building a hospital in Haiti, which is a country that just can't get a break, and thank goodness for people like Louise.
All right. Talk a little bit over a story that came out of Falls Village a couple of days ago, and then a complaint has been filed with the Democratic Party in the state about people who think that things were done wrong over the endorsement, the Democratic endorsement of the Republican candidate.
You have to admire Falls Village for being very, very active in their Democratic process, and there was some displeasure at how the town is being run by some people in town, and it seems to overlap a little bit with concerns about the affordable housing project, pro and con. And there is, of course, an election coming up in November. We still don't have the election slates from everybody, and, of course, as we can see, it's still in conversation. But the Democrats in Falls Village were going to cross-endorse the sitting first selectman, Henry Todd, and now there is some concern among some citizens that they don't want that to happen. He is still endorsed by the Republican Party, and, of course, in all of our small towns, it's always hard to find someone to step up and do that very hard job of being first selectman. But these citizens have done what they should do, which is they filed a complaint with the state and looked to higher authorities to help them resolve this problem.
I think what kind of muddled the instance in this case is that with all these Zoom meetings and other things and boom, ba bump, so many rules have been changed and are done on the fly. That they're just making sure that everything was legal, and a mistake could have been made, especially with the way meetings have been held since COVID-19. So,
right, and people have to sort of realize that there are rules. I think a lot of people come into a meeting and they emotionally want things to be done in a certain way, and for right or wrong, there's a certain protocol, as you said, and the protocol is followed, and sometimes people aren't happy about that. But that's why we have, you know, state government, too, to step in and kind of look at the process and to sort of say, like, this is good, or, we shouldn't have done it that way.
Well, this story about Lila Hawken about a windfall received from a silly putty charitable trust is a great...
No, I looked it up on the internet. I was like, this has to be... There must be some family around here that was connected to silly putty, but I couldn't find anything. But presumably that's what it is, and the silly putty trust does have donations to other entities in the East Coast. I think there was a school that they were big donors to, but the town of Sharon is going to get a big chunk of money for it. I think it was $49,000, which is not nothing.
You're not going to sneeze at that.
That's not silly. That's real money.
All right.
And we were also writing about the land trust and a lot of activity going on there. My friend Brooke Loning has been very active in helping to clear the trails and looking for volunteers, and they do a couple of hours of work and then have a nice lunch. So who can beat that? But there's the land trust is looking for more opportunities to preserve land. There's some property from Lionel Goldfrank, one of the big property owners in Sharon, has Molesville Farm, and looking for ways to make that property protected, and that will link up to some of these trails that are being cleared now.
Also a story about the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon. They are really trying to open this up for the community to better understand their expansion and renovations, where they're going to have registrations for Zoom receptions so people can get a really good idea about what is happening, the improvements that are being made at the library.
Zoom in person, and I have to say I admire their courage, because this has not always been an easy road to this renovation and expansion. There's often been a lot of pushback from the community for what I think everybody agrees is a needed expansion, but there were lots of concerns about how it was being done. So everything is moving forward. The groundbreaking was held in August, and the library temporarily is at the Herbert Klebs VFW post in Sharon. And here's your chance to find out what's going on. They're making it very easy for all of us, Zoom in person, so take advantage of that if you live in Sharon.
All right, we're going to move on to a section which I didn't realize there were so many new teachers hired in our region this year.
I have the sense, and this is just anecdotal, this is not backed up by fact, I have the sense that a lot of the schools had teachers that they lost for one way or another, the private schools and the public schools, and that there was a lot of hiring that went on this summer. So this is one of the largest new teacher listings that we've had in years. I believe there's 15 total throughout the region, some at every school. So excited to see them, and congratulations to them for joining us. Some of them are promotions, some of them are transfers from one school to another, but very happy to have them all here.
I want to pass along the, once again, classmate of mine from Sharon Center School, Kevin Tuttle, passed away recently. And Charlie Snyder, always had a smile, always had a song, passed away. We'll get more information, of course, about that when it's released. But two more well-known names in Sharon have left us. I look at the teachers though in Region 1, and you know what? There's so many female teachers as opposed to male teachers. But it's great to see a young crop come in really to Region 1, and I guess they're going to come in, and it's going to be a little easier this year. For all new teachers. So
let's hope. And there does seem to be several of the new hires are sort of social support, which is, I think, very helpful for children who are going to be struggling a little bit to, adapt back into the routine.
I think, either way, their kids are going to be struggling a little bit because they're going to be so happy to be back amongst friends that's something that has to be controlled. And then they have to, once again, learn that, okay, even though the masks are on, they're with their friends. They've got to learn. They've got to study. It's all those things.
The socialization. I mean, you have to socialize. There's got to be human. If you're going to be humans, then you got to have human contact.
I think one of the great things about being in a classroom is impulse control, and I think that's a very hard thing to teach at home
with a screen in front of you. Yeah, it's kind of impossible.
Yeah, and when it's just the, the harried parents, and you don't see it in the same way. There's probably a little bit more of a routine at home where there's less excitement, but they do say that one of the great keys to emotional success and happiness is learning emotional control.
Yeah.
Well, Vice Principal, Mr. Richard Alto, worked on emotional control with me for 2.5 years, and he was quasi-successful.
But just imagine how that would have been if all you got to do was sit in front of a TV.
It would have been horrible. Let's go on to the opinion pages right now. The editorial will lead into it, Janet. A new school year like never before.
Right, and this is what we're talking about, and all good points made. This is like never before. It's different from last year, and let's hope it's a pathway to, fully in-school learning by next year in a more normal way, but we can predict. You know, it depends on how the pandemic goes, and I'll say that one point I wanted to make is how interesting it is that pre-pandemic we often prioritize test scores and how the kids are doing academically and how, you know, and now it really is looking at the whole child and how their emotional lives are and what we can do to support them and their parents and the faculty, everybody better, because it's just a hard path right now. And it is true that while they're in school, they're still going to be meeting some limitations to, you know, wanting to socialize and be with each other, but it's better than not doing it.
Absolutely. And just to go along with that, and you're turning back the pages, 25 years ago, Lee Kellogg Elementary School opened this year with 146 students, about as many as last year.
Yes. Isn't that interesting to see?
that is just, that's something that ties along with that extremely well. And you've got letters, once again, education, not regulation for lakes, the Falls Village problems, and more. You've got a lot of different letters again this week.
We do. Be sure to read Grant Bogle on the lake situation at Twin Lakes and in Salisbury. Mark Godburn is writing about misinformation on Falls Village, and he makes his points about how some people are writing letters with what he considers misinformation, so do give that a read. We also have Barbara Maltby on being responsible in getting the vaccination for COVID-19.
All right, and on your viewpoint pages, you've got Body Scientific, Chris Powell, and also Peter Steiner's cartoon.
Right, Peter Steiner, is going right along with the theme of school starting, so don't miss him. Richard Kesson is just talking about something totally different from COVID-19, which he's been writing about for us on a regular basis, and this is Darwin's Aeolian Dust. It's fascinating. It's a really good read. It takes you back to 1831 and yet still applies to where we are right now. So do give that a read. And Chris Powell on the coronavirus and it being a judgment call every day.
And just looking at the front page of Compass, Cynthia, gives you a good feeling. I mean, we know we have Lime Rock going on this weekend. You've got a choral music concert by Crescendo at Veterans Field in Sharon, the open studio tour. You know, we really are starting to get back to where there's a lot of things happening for people to go and do too.
We're trying in Compass to get as much in as possible, and there is a lot going on this weekend. And again, I keep feeling like, wow, I can't believe it's already Labor Day weekend. But Cornwall, very active this weekend. There's not only the studio tour, but you can actually go to the art sale at the library and buy stuff. And, of course, you can buy stuff at the studios. And we've got, as you said, the Crescendo concert. They've managed to continue to rehearse and do interesting work. This one is in Sharon at the Field, which is a lovely place for a concert. At the beginning of the summer, I took a tour of the village of Hillsdale in New York with Carol Sadlin from the Movie House, and we had so much fun. It's like a movie set there. Everything is so adorable and charming and fantastic. Great restaurants, beautiful little gardening shops. And so they're doing a weekend workshop next weekend where you can just go from class to class to class, and it's like the way you described being back at school. It's not just, you know, we're all used to being able to take classes and workshops, and you can do it on Zoom or you can do it in person, but these are classes in person, and they're all stacked one on top of each other. So you would be going, just like in high school, running through the halls, seeing your friends, stopping to have a picnic lunch outside with jazz music, and really interesting, everything from learning how to read gravestones to learning how to grow and then arrange dahlias. So that should be incredibly fun. And then coming up, the Berkshire International Film Festival, got to give it to them for finding a way to continue with their festival this year, which is coming up starting September 9th. I think there's 4 days. You can watch a number of films. You buy a virtual pass, and you can see as many films as you want. And there's a particular one. You know, Janet knows that I say this all the time like a broken record, but we have all these organizations here that have fundraisers, and they're often calling us up and saying, oh, I can't believe somebody else is doing something on the same weekend as us. In New York City, the fashion industry had this one woman named Ruth Finley who started the fashion calendar, just one woman in that business of giant egos and power games, and she managed to get everybody on to that one calendar. If you didn't get on that calendar, you weren't having your fashion show during Fashion Week in New York City. And Christian Brune has done a film about her. So, sounds fascinating. I'm definitely going to be getting the pass and watching that. And also we have an interview for next week's issue with Christian Brune, who has also started a podcast with a woman named Laura Tedesco, who is a monuments woman in Afghanistan and has been working on saving cultural treasures there for over 10 years. And, of course, as they've been making this podcast, the Taliban has been moving through Afghanistan. So it's a fascinating podcast to listen to, but sad.
But it's just nice when you look at Compass and you see all the different things that are going on. I mean, Grillsdale is back this year. We're no longer slowly getting back from the pandemic. I think that even though there's fits and stops and starts and different stories and everything, people are basically deciding that
they have to learn to live with it.
Learn to live with it. They'll get their shot. They'll go out and wear a mask if they have to. They won't wear masks. So I think we're obviously headed in the right direction.
It certainly seems that way. Listen, don't miss Hammertown's tent sale this weekend, too.
That's
50
right.
to 75% off in Pine Plains. It is so much fun. And,
Janice, you used the F word, but that's what's really important. That's what we got to get.
And the Housatonic Area Foundation, their month-long guided walks is kicking off this weekend as well.
That's right.
Where they've got over 16, and they're all guided walks in different areas throughout our area. So we're getting back there, folks. Sooner or later, we'll be there.
F for fun. Yes.
All right. Well, the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, you can find them online, tricornernews.com, of course, at newsstands, and you can get home delivery as well. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend.
That is Janet Manco and Cynthia Hosswinder. And this week in the Lakeville Journal, once again, tricornernews.com is their website. If you'd like to hear a rebroadcast of this show, it will be at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on this week in the Lakeville Journal.